Good morning. Buenos dias. People are really excited today. Okay. Well, welcome to Zion. We're going to open with prayer this morning. So please bow your heads. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Take this patchwork collection of persons and quilt together your church like old pieces of cloth. Take these words and songs and prayers, take our thoughts and inner hungers, and join them all together into a new and living fabric, the purpose of which is to cover and color your world, or at least our corner of it, with grace and love. In Christ, amen. If you are new to Zion, please fill out one of the visitor cards from the back of the pew, and you can place that in the offering basket as it comes around. And as everyone greets those around themselves, if you can have an announcement, please come forward.
We only have a few more weeks to make announcements about conference. It's about a week and a half before the Pacific Northwest Mennonite Church Conference meets here. And I just thought some of you might not know, you know, what's the whole format of the conference? What happens? So on Thursday the 23rd in the afternoon, there is a workshop for pastors and other church leaders that'll happen here. And then that evening, there is a pastor and spouse dinner, kind of a, what's the right word for it, like a thank you dinner, for appreciation dinner for pastors and spouses. That's that Thursday evening, and some of you are helping serve the meal and prepare the meal for that evening. But the main conference then gets started on that Friday morning, and both Friday and Saturday morning, there's a worship time from 8:30 to 10 that's open to anybody. When I say it's open, I mean you don't have to register for the conference to come to that those two worship times on that morning. And then during the rest of the day on Friday and Saturday, there's delegate meetings, and we have like seven delegates plus our pastors who are a part of that are, you know, making decisions and hearing things. There's also some workshops that are going on, and that's for people who have registered for the conference. You can still register online if you want to, and there's information on the website of the conference, and that information is in your bulletin. A couple other special things that are happening are Friday evening at 7 o'clock, there's a bluegrass group called Jericho Road that's going to give a concert here in our gym, and we'll have blueberry pie and ice cream. And again, that's open to anybody in the congregation or around here that wants to come and hear that music and enjoy blueberry pie and ice cream. And that's at 7 o'clock on that evening. So that's kind of just a real quick overview. In terms of volunteers that we need, we're doing pretty good in most areas. There's just a few spaces that we have for some people to help with lunch cleanup or dinner cleanup on Friday. We have one more person we could use on Friday to help with dinner preparation for the, in the afternoon and for the evening meal on that Friday. And there's a sign-up sheet. You can still see I've highlighted a few, just a few areas that we need there. Still, our biggest area of need is nursery help and child care help for ages 3 to 5 during the day on Friday and Saturday. There's not going to be a lot of children coming, but there will be, usually it's children of pastors and other people that are coming that are expecting that we have some child care to help out with. And that's where we still have some openings and some needs. So if you have any interest or time and you can help out there, please check the bulletin board, sign up, or come and talk to me. But yeah, we still have some needs there. But thank you to the many people who have already agreed to help, and if others of you can help too, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
The Bible school sign-up is on the back bulletin board now, and we're going to be trying something. We're doing the same, we're still following that same series, but we're going to try something different this year. We want to just have five then and now activities, and then we're going to be having like a game activity time. I think there was more than just me that's like, remember when we used to play Flying Dutchman? So we want to have an activity time when kids can be running, playing games. It'll be organized and that kind of thing. So that's one of the options too. And so... So we're just kind of excited for that, and we'll just kind of see how that works out this year. But we're hoping that having an active time for the kids to get some running in, some of the wiggles out, that kind of thing. So that's just coming up. It's at the end of July. We have a different start date this year. It's going to start on July 24th.
And kids, when you're coming up for Children's Story, there's going to be My Coins Count. So everybody else can be prepared for that as well. We'll do the call to worship now. I will lead the, I'll speak the leader part, which is the non-bullet section, and then everybody else can read the bullet section. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you are called.
We cannot do this alone. We dare not try this alone. So we gather as God's people.
Lead a life worthy of your calling, a life filled with service and meekness.
We come to build up Christ's body in humility and gentleness, with patience and love.
Lead a life which reflects your calling. That life of peace grounded in the Spirit.
We rejoice in our oneness in Christ. We will share the grace offered to us.
Live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called.
We gather as God's family at the table prepared for us, waiting to be fed by the bread of life.
Let's continue in our worship by turning to hymn number 51, Let the Whole Creation Cry, number 51, and I'd like to invite you to stand.
Thank you.
turn to number 16. God is here among us, number 16.
Thank you.
Will the ushers please come forward? Bow our heads. O God, accept and bless these gifts which we offer in response to the gracious gift of your life-giving Spirit to us. May these gifts in our lives be used to flesh out your love and justice, mercy and peace, as they are revealed in and through Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Could the children please come up with their cups for the coins?
My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, there are people that we see
all around the world
needing food or water or a chance to live in peace. We can make a difference in the world because my coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared
all around.
Big or small, we use the care.
We can make a difference in the world
because my coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. Together, there's a lot we can achieve
all around the world.
witnessing to others that we live what we believe.
We can make a difference in the world
because my coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Okay. Thank you for bringing those coins up. Did you bring the coins to church?
No.
No, you didn't. But you brought them from people here. So thank you for doing that. And that goes exactly with the story that I have here, plus the message today about how everybody has a part to play. Everybody has something to give as well as to receive in the church. And here's a story about a boy, maybe the age of some of you here, in the book called Trouble. If you look up there, there's what the book cover looks like, everyone. And I've got this in my library. If you ever want to borrow it, let me know. And it's about a boy named Tekla from Ethiopia. And this is how he learned that everybody has something to give and everybody has something to receive. So if we could get the next picture here. Trouble always found Tekla. When he ran by the fire, he never meant to kick up dust onto the coffee beans roasting there, but somehow dust always settled on the roasting beans just the same, because in Ethiopia they roast their own coffee. When Tekla watched the family goats, he always meant to tend them carefully. So how was it the goats ended up so often in someone else's garden? And Tekla could never resist poking a stick into a marching line of army ants to watch them climb on it. Was it his fault if sometimes the ants climbed up onto the stick and stung his fingers? And finally, one day, Tekla's father took out a piece of olive wood and carefully hollowed out holes to make a gebeta board. And that's what you see there. It's for a game. Some parts of Africa, they call it mankala. You have a mankala board? Okay, but in Ethiopia, they call it gebeta. His dad said, now he will have no more problems. A gebeta board always keeps a young boy out of trouble. And that evening, Tekla and his family played the game together, scooping pebbles first into one hole and then the other. The next morning, Tekla set off with two goats and his gebeta board. Take the goats straight to their grazing place in the hills, his father reminded him. You can play your game there with the other shepherds. Yes, father, Tekla said. And he meant to go straight to the hills, but as he began to walk, he could see far in the distance that something was happening on the path. When Tekla got closer, he saw that it was a group of traders with their dusty, musky camels drinking their coffee around a small fire. Is there no wood in this country? One of the traders called to Tekla. We found only a few sticks with which to make this fire. Of course there is wood, Tekla said. See? And he held up his gebeta board. Thank you, the man said. He grabbed the gebeta board and threw it on the fire. What? Imagine he wasn't very happy about that, huh? When Tekla saw his gebeta board burning, he set up such a howling that the traders had to cover their ears. Ay! One cried. Have this fine knife and stop making all that noise. Well, Tekla was still sad about his gebeta board, but the knife was sharp with a very strong bone handle. If the man had misunderstood him, what could be done now? So down the path, Tekla went with his two goats and the fine knife. Before long, Tekla saw a man sitting by the long grass, waiting. So he squatted and waited too. Here, the man said, a knife is nothing for a young boy. Why don't you let me have it so that I can skin the antelope that will soon be caught in my snare? Now, Tekla had many times sat in the field watching the antelope eating. He was sorry to think of such a shy and delicate creature ending up in a meal, but he knew that people have to eat. So he said, well, what will you give me if I give you this knife? The man held out his masinko. It's a kind of musical instrument. My family needs food more than they need music, he said. So off Tekla went with his two goats and his masinko. He wandered down the path, moving the bow this way and that to make sounds come from his instrument. About noon, he heard shouting up ahead. Soon he came upon a group of musicians dressed in fine clothes, strutting and shaking their shoulders as they danced and played music. Here, one of the musicians said, what a terrible noise that you're making with that instrument. Why don't you let us have it for the wedding feast that we're going to? You take this drum instead. Why not, Tekla said. But instead of turning toward the hills with his two goats and his drum, Tekla tagged along with the musicians. At a wedding feast, Tekla knew that a small boy can always be well fed from the plates of leftovers. So here's the people, all the people at the wedding feast. You see them, the people at the wedding feast. And soon the group reached the house where the bride and groom and their guests celebrated. The red smell of spices curled in the air. In the middle of the thumping drums and dancing people, no one noticed Tekla. If we could have the next picture. No one noticed him sampling the food. Finally, one of the cooks chased him away. You see Tekla there sneaking some of the food out of the pot. And Tekla set off down the road with his goats and his drum, and a full belly, too. The sun was hot, and the air was sweet with the smells of grain and flowers. Tekla stopped to watch an emerald lizard sunning itself on a rock. True, his mother always told him not to touch the lizards, but this lizard sat on a stone so quietly and mysterious that Tekla could not help but touch it. So he popped it into his bag to take home to eat flies and mosquitoes in the house. So you think of all the things that are changing hands there. He's had what? He's had a kabuto board and what else?
A knife
and what else? A musical instrument and a drum and a lizard. See how he's been changing all these things around? Okay, next picture. A little while later, what's that? And he got some food out of that too, yep. A little while later, when the afternoon sun became too hot, Tekla sat down in the shade of a cornfield and began to play his drum. Startled by the noise, three monkeys leaped out of the corn and scampered away hooting. As the monkeys ran away from the fields, a farmer came running over to Tekla. He said, "What a wonderful noise you're making. Stay here and play your drum all afternoon and I'll give you a bag full of corn." Why do you think he wants him to play the drum in his field?
To give him corn.
Well, he's going to give them a bag of corn to get the monkeys out of the corn. That's right. So Tekla sat on the farmer's platform and played the drum to keep the monkeys and the birds away while the goats grazed on grain tassels. Next picture. When the early evening shadows crawled across the ground, Tekla gave the drum to a farmer in exchange for a fat papaya. Have you ever eaten a papaya? That's a kind of big fruit. That can be big. Then Tekla took his corn, his goats, his papaya, and his lizard, and started for home. But at the edge of his village, the smells of a cook fire caught him. "Salam," called a woman from the doorway of the house. "Where did you get that fat papaya? I would like to get one for my children who have been sick." "The farmer gave it to me, but he's quite a long way from here," Tekla replied. He looked at the children staring up at him with big, sad eyes. The youngest girl smiled shyly. "Here," Tekla said, "let me make you a gift of this bag of corn and the papayas." So he's giving away something. What? The corn and the papaya, okay? Come in, the woman said. She blew on the fire under a pot of lentil stew and filled a bowl for Tekla. And while he scooped the smoky lentils with injera, it's a kind of bread, he watched the children playing with their gabuto board. So he's back in the presence of a gabuto board again. The woman cut up the papaya and the children ate it with juice running down their arms. Then Tekla coaxed the goats out of the neighbor's garden to eat the leftover skin and seeds, said goodbye and started down the path. And suddenly he heard footsteps. The little girl was running after him, holding out the kabuto board. So now he got one again. So it was that Tekla came home with two goats, one emerald lizard, and a kabuto board. His father patted Tekla on the head with pride. How well fed and contented the goats are today. Tekla's father said to the family. And didn't I tell you? A kibbutz board never fails to keep a young boy out of trouble. Actually, Tekla got into a lot of trouble that day, didn't he? So think of all the things that changed hands that people gave each other in the course of Tekla and following the goats during the day. Can you think of things that you can share with people from your gifts or your things? What? You can share food with people. That's right. What else? What are things that we can exchange and share with each other?
Like, if they don't know how to cook, we could teach them how to cook so then they have food.
Okay, we can teach them to cook too. What else? Right, you can share food, you can share friendship. We all have something to give, and we all have something to receive. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for these children, members of your church here who are here. Lord, we pray that as they grow up, they'll know just what it is that they have to offer, and they'll know also what they can receive from your people in the beautiful world. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
I'll be reading from Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
This message will focus mostly on those words, speaking the truth to each other in love. We will grow up in all respects to become the mature body of Christ. Those are the words of a Christian missionary. And twice in the passage we heard some version of the word grow or growth. But this missionary, Paul, is not thinking about growth in the numbers of new churches on the mission field, not in this passage at least, as we might expect. Nor is he thinking about growing the size and the number of people in each congregation that will be hearing this letter, important as that is. But no mortal has the power to make churches grow in numbers or in size. God does that. These words are about growth, or the growth of the kingdom of God in this world. And God does that too. But we do have some responsibility and power in the growth of God's kingdom. God's kingdom grows as you and I cooperate with God to grow in Christ-like character and spiritual giftedness, as our relationships grow in depth in love, and in Christ-like character. The more we grow to think, act, talk, pray, be like Jesus, and the more of us there are thinking, talking, acting, praying, and being like Jesus, then the more the kingdom of God is growing in the world. And that kind of personal spiritual growth in Christ-like character, in leadership capacity, and spiritual gifting for ministry, those are the things that make God's kingdom grow. And divine kingdom growth is what makes churches grow in number and in size, and not vice versa. And we grow to think, talk, act, be, and pray like Jesus in those relationships and in those settings in which other people with us are thinking, talking, praying, acting, and being like Jesus, when we are speaking the truth to each other in love. Now, sometimes that truth spoken in love might be a little hard to hear sometimes. Without truth, our words cannot really be loving. They may be tactful, they may be polite, they may be diplomatic, but they cannot really be loving. Not when we're withholding the truth from each other. And yet for every truthful word of concern or correction that we might ever need, there should be at least two words of encouragement and affirmation and praise and appreciation, because those words are truthful too. We probably all have met or been around people who prided themselves on being what they called brutally honest. Well, my experience with them is that usually more they are honestly brutal. But without love, our words to each other may be factual, but they are not truthful. Praying together and worshiping together are also ways of speaking the truth to each other in love. Now, there's only so much of that kind of growth that can happen here in this setting for an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. And actually, this worship service, any worship service, is at least as much for God as it is for us. So very often, a better setting for sharing and receiving our spiritual growth, or our spiritual gifts for growth, is in face-to-face settings and encounters and relationships of anywhere from 2 people to 12. Get bigger than 12 people and you start to have more of an audience than a relationship. You start to have more of a class than an encounter. And the best places for such encounters and relationships for our spiritual growth are usually wherever we are most comfortable, most ourselves. Maybe in our homes, probably, but maybe also at a picnic table, a coffee shop, a lunch room at work, or a restaurant. And so the title of this message today is Taking the Church Outside of the Church for, and there should be a drum roll here, the growth of God's kingdom. The growth of God's kingdom in us and through us. Now, obviously, I'm using the word church in two ways. I mean taking the church as the people, as the church's life, as our ministries outside of the church building, the sanctuary. And no, I'm not saying that this gathering here on a Sunday morning is any less valuable or important. And I'm not trying to be cute either with using the word church in two different ways in a title. Taking the church outside of the church for growth in God's kingdom in us and through us. Actually, what I'm describing there is really nothing short of what I hope is a culture change or a mental shift, which brings us back to the original meaning of the New Testament church, which brings us back to Jesus' first words, the resurrected Jesus, and his first words to the disciples when he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." But most of us have grown up in a culture or a mindset in which church is just a place we come to on a Sunday morning. Or was that just me? But I'd like us to start thinking more and more of church as the people sent forth from this building. I'd like us to think more and more of church as an experience, as a ministry, as a movement that we take out of here. Not just that we gather in. People often think of the Sunday morning gathering as the place to which we come and the people whom we see, with whom we gather to be filled and refreshed after our weeks of hectic living and juggling all sorts of duties and difficulties. And I hope we are refreshed here. But what if we thought of this gathering instead as the time when the week starts and from which we take out all that we have learned and experienced in worship and fellowship and Christian education, that we're taking it out into our world of difficulties and duties, so that worship and Christian education and fellowship then continue in our living rooms or around our coffee tables or our kitchen tables, on our patios, in the workplace lunchroom, at the neighborhood park, even at a neighborhood tavern like where Richard Caton often takes church on Saturdays. This small group invitation and these inspirations that we're going to hear in just a moment from people who have also caught this vision, want to take church out of here or elsewhere. These are some of the ways that we might take church outside the church for the growth of God's kingdom in us and through us. If these encounters and relationships should connect us then with Christians from other churches or from non-church people, that has a kingdom of God feeling about it too. And as people in these settings speak the truth about themselves and to each other, as they do that in love, as they exercise their own spiritual gifting, as they receive ministry from other people's spiritual gifting, then that kind of growth happens. And we can tell that that kind of growth is happening if and as we become more like Jesus. And growth like that is just going to touch other lives around us. And so again, God's kingdom not only grows in us, it grows through us. If in the next few moments you do not hear an invitation to a kind of group that appeals to you, pray about it and see if something doesn't start later that attracts you, that spiritually, relationally speaking, scratches where you itch. Or maybe God might even move you to start a group related to your personal pain or your passion or your spiritual gifting. And if that sounds scary, know that Jana and I are committed to helping and supporting any small group leaders who get them started, to help them get it started and keep it going. And we'll get the small group leaders and conveners together occasionally to support each other and compare notes, know they're not alone, share what they found helpful. And there will be other opportunities throughout time as new groups start and other ones end, because taking the church outside of the church for the growth of God's kingdom in us and through us is not a one and done event. I'm hoping it's a way of life. I'm hoping it's a way of church. I'm hoping it's a culture shift, a mindset for the growth again of God's kingdom in us and through us, until God's kingdom comes in its fullness, and then we need no longer pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So now I invite the people who are ready to share about their small groups to come forward, stand up here. In whatever order you're ready, just come here and tell us about what God has laid on your heart. So please come forward. To stand over here and tell us about how God is leading or what God is doing with your small group relationships.
I'd like us also to note that there is one at the beginning of the list, and that is very worthy of attention as well. I will be gathering a group that we've entitled 8 Weeks in Philippians. Growing up, I heard this little phrase that went on, 1 week without gathering makes 1 week. It's a play on the words there. That was in support of midweek meeting. This is set up for a period of time to have an ending and then reassessment and knowing where we're going, but also arranged at that meeting time when some of us no longer care to have a lot of night goings on, and so we can gather in the daytime. Gathering here at church as well, using the library space as a more neutral or a common, or a, yes, a common space that belongs to all of us. So the invitation is to join, to dig into Philippians. I have done a number of the epistles. Philippians has been on my list yet to do. So this moves me to do some of that digging in and study. So you are invited as it fits your schedule and your interest.
Lou Ann Berkey and I are doing a study on the book of James. This is a woman's Bible study. I guess if a man wanted to join us, you'd be welcome to. It's in the evening, and we're meeting for 7 weeks. The last week, we're going to do a family barbecue with everybody there. We're studying from Scripture, using no other outside book. We met last week, and anyone else that would like to join us is welcome to do that.
So just because ours is the longest doesn't mean we have it figured out. So as many of you know, Serenity and I have kind of been grafted into the Anabaptist tree. One of the things that drew us to Zion was the focus on peace and justice issues. Clearly we've been grafted because I still call it Zion. So we would like to focus on peace and justice, and some of the details is we're not sure if it's going to be a book study, if it's kind of open. We would like for folks to contact us and let us know if they're interested. We don't have a specific day that we're going to start meeting. What we'd like to do is gather as a group and then decide what works best for our schedules, especially since I'm a teacher, and so I'm going to start being gone a lot. We would like to meet in people's living room, starting with ours, and then we can go from there. We'd like to share a meal together as we talk, share what has been impactful from the chapter that we read or from the book that we're reading from the Bible, and just have prayer and discussion, and to talk about how this root of the perspective of Mennonites and the issues of peace and justice impact our lives on a daily basis, and how we can live that that perspective out in a better way. So,
that's kind of a hard one to follow, meeting in a cozy living room with a meal, invite you to come to a care center, no food. Lauren and I felt called to meet with Jim Graber at the care center in Malala, and it's just been a delightful experience to sit down together. We spent several weeks, as a bulletin announces, First Peter and non-resistance. Well, actually, we did the non-resistance. We're now in First Peter. But you are welcome to come join us. We meet on Mondays. Now, that's how we've been doing. If it suits someone's schedule to meet every other week, we're open to that rather than weekly. We'll adjust to whoever might want to join us. Like I say, it's a time when we can get together and share experiences, share around God's Word, and bring some support and encouragement to Jim. And he does the same for us, too. So it's a two-way thing.
Well, I'm part of a men's morning Bible study. We've been meeting, I think it's been 20 years or more. We don't know when or why we started. But we've been getting together Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 at my house. And we spend about half our time just sharing our concerns or just sharing the first half hour, usually just having fellowship together. And then the second half of the hour, we spend studying God's Word. And we take turns leading each week. It's kind of the way we sit in our circle. We just kind of go around and share reading of the scripture each week. And we also share bringing something to go with our coffee, some snack that we always have. So it's a morning, early morning time for some guys it fits better. And we enjoy the time together. We usually alternate. We just pick a book of the Bible. We usually alternate New Testament, Old Testament. We just finished up Acts, and we're in Joshua now. And we've been able to share closely with each other struggles and cares that we have, and it's been a good core group that we to have the support and the encouragement from each other. It's an informal setting, and we welcome anyone to join us Wednesday morning. It doesn't matter if we're in the middle of a study or not. We don't usually spend much time in preparation other than the morning we're doing it. We're just reading in God's Word and sharing, and we'll some of us have the study Bibles that we read the commentaries at the bottom as we go sometimes. We usually take a break November and December. That's always when I've been harvesting Christmas trees, and it just never worked good. And it's been a good time to take a break. So we usually don't meet during November and December, and then we start up again in January. And anytime we finish a study, a book study, we go out for breakfast. The next, we go out to eat somewhere for breakfast the next morning. So it's a very casual men's time together, good fellowship, and a good time to read God's Word and share together. And we spend time in prayer as we close with our concerns and our joys. And feel free to join if you want.
I'm going to make an announcement for Marlene Reader's group, which you will see on the insert. Her topic, God's Help for Parents with Adult Children, Hope and Healing for Extended Family Relationships. So Marlene is here today. She's in the back wearing a white shirt. So if you don't know who she is, come and talk to me, and I will direct you to her. She wants to be available to people that can call her 24/7 if you need someone to talk to. She wants to listen and pray for you and give support in that way. So it can be a one-on-one with Marlene, or it can be in a group. So feel free to talk to her. And then I'm going to give a pitch for a young married's small group that Craig and I want to facilitate. And we want to bring the group together and then let the group decide what to study, if they want to do a Bible study or they want to do a book. So I haven't defined young married in any way. I'm going to say if you've been married either up to 6 years or under, that would be considered young married. So come and talk to Craig and I if you're interested.
If we could stay here, I'd like to offer a prayer of blessing for you all. I forgot to mention earlier that an insert is in the, hopefully you've seen already the insert in the bulletin with the information about these groups, and we will keep you apprised of any new groups that start as well. And the contact information is there, right? So
maybe we'll keep them listed in the bulletin for a while.
We'll keep them listed for a while, too, in the bulletin and elsewhere. Again, I'm praying that my hope and prayer is that this is not just, just a sort of a one-shot event, but that this whole understanding of taking church out to wherever we can most be ourselves will continue and grow and connect us with other Christians. And I will say, I occasionally, but not very often, drop in on the men's Bible study at Gerald's house, Gerald and Cheryl's house at 6 a.m. when I'm up, or if I'm up in time for that. And we do have good fellowship and also good breakfast foods. Sometimes it's we guys who make them. So please join me in prayer. Thank you, dear God, for the passion that you have laid on these precious hearts to connect with people, to connect with you through your word and your ministry. And I pray, O God, that you would take their offerings, like the one that Elijah brought to the altar, rain fire upon them to make them glow with the power of your love, to transform our lives and to bring your kingdom all the more into this world. Bless them, the leaders, the conveners, and all who are moved to join them in any way. Bless all the lives that these encounters and relationships will touch, so that we will indeed grow to bear your image all the more faithfully. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
In your blue hymnal. As we open our prayer and share time, I do want to just do another announcement about one Friday night a month that Kevin and Cynthia Hoffman Chuff are opening their home that it's for anyone to come, regardless of age. So that's intergenerational, for food, fellowship, and games. So that's considered kind of another small group, just extending the invitation to build community that anyone's invited to. So I know they've done that several times, so it's already begun, but we didn't really mention that one either. So, yeah. Anyone like to share this morning? Cares, concerns, or praises?
This is Kelly, and I have asked for prayers for my father, Lamont. He's having some increased heart issues, which are really limiting his ability to be active, and he's having a hard time adjusting to that. And he's just saying prayers as for him as he adjusts to a different lifestyle.
Lamont, okay. Remember him.
I wanted to share a little story about our friends Selena and Ruben Lopez. They've been here before. They helped serve pozole. They were selling it for their friend who was suffering cancer. Anyways, Ruben has worked for a farmer out here for 18 years. He does not have his papers. Ruben does not have his papers, and neither does Selena. They've been here for about 20 years. Well, no, yeah. I don't know if it's about 18 years. Anyways, this farmer has worked him very hard. Ruben has been a faithful worker for him, and he finally came to him one last week and said, I really need to have Sundays as my day off, because he's been working him 7 days a week and with very little time off. And so Ruben finally felt that he needed to put his foot down and needed to ask his boss for a day, every day of the week, for Sunday off. He did this, and the farmer refused. And we've talked to him before about this boss, and he's vented some frustration and feeling desperate to have work, but at the same time feeling some injustice with all of it. And we have encouraged him, but anyway, he came to us last week and said, I presented my boss with this request and he denied me, and so I have quit. And we were so proud of him for standing up for himself. And he right away got another job with an insulation job, and we've been praying for him this week. And a lot of families suffer the same thing in our community, and for them to stand up for themselves is huge. So I just wanted to say that's a praise, and for us to encourage our neighbors in this, that farmers can't treat people like this, and that we can't stand for this. So,
thank you for sharing. Hi, Maynard. Good morning.
And this is Maynard Noss here. I just wanted to let you know that the last uncle I had on this earth passed away last night about 11 o'clock. Charles the gracious, 15-year-old time. And I ask for prayers for your daughters, Pat and Jan, as they transition through this period. God will be with them.
Charles Yoder is passing. He was at Hope Village, correct? Still at Hope Village? Okay, thank you. I want to remember the family.
I invite you to sort of look around at the pews and the padding and see how clean they are. Look at the windows and see how clean they are. I mean, they've always been pretty clean, but they're even cleaner now because there was this big, wonderful turnout of people helping yesterday to do all sorts of cleaning and preparation. partly in advance of hosting the regional district conference in a couple of weeks, but just another wonderful example of how we carry out that word in our mission statement of hospitality. That's what we do at our house when people are coming. We run around and clean up. And that's what we were doing here yesterday. What a celebration. Thank you for all who came and could.
Yeah, and if you really want to know how to clean windows well, talk to Rich Krupp, because he knows the solution to mix. He knows the right kind of rags to use, the squeegee, whatever. I'm getting all that information from Rich, so the windows look great. Clean windows.
I don't know how many of you have watched the news this morning, but the shooting that went on in Orlando, I don't want to say much. I just think we should all be thinking about that and praying as a congregation for what happened there. So,
yeah, thank you. We will do that. I just saw that on the computer this morning. 50 people were killed in a club in early Sunday morning in Orlando. So someone went in with a gun, and that many people passed away. So let's take a moment of silence as we just think of that event and the violence and terror that has happened there. Lord, we just ask that you would bring your healing balm to so many that are experiencing loss right now. In places close to us and in places far away. And we just lament these acts of unexpected terror and violence, asking that you, Prince of Peace, would somehow intervene, making your healing and presence known. And with those words, we also lift up others that we care for, asking for your guidance in their lives, as we lift Lamont to you, as he's experiencing heart issues and a change in lifestyle. We just pray that you would be near him. We lift Charles Yoder's family, asking for your comfort, your peace to reside and sustain this family in the loss of Charles. Lord, we rejoice with Reuben and Selena in expressing their convictions and not letting money get in the way of decisions that they have wanted to make. And I thank you for providing a job so quickly for Reuben. In this decision that he has made, we just rejoice with him. Lord, thank you for the many here at Zion that are willing to put their hands and their feet to work in service as we gathered yesterday to do many of the tasks here outside and inside. Just pray a blessing on each one. Thank you for willing hearts to make the work light. We just ask that you would draw us together We live life easily on our own at times, and that can be lonely and that can feel hopeless, but you have given us each other for love and support and community. Help us to embrace this beautiful experience of community, living for each other rather than living for ourselves, because we do believe that you want to do great things through your church. So I pray a blessing on these small groups, a blessing on those willing to facilitate. Would you just draw your people together, your spirit at work within us, drawing us deeper into that walk with you, that we can say we're bound together through hurts, through joys, through being community, Lord. Bind us together. Amen. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together.
Go now in peace, for Christ has called you to live in peace among your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go now in courage, for Christ has called you from the places of your life to be agents of redemption and partners in healing. Go now in joy and thanksgiving, for Christ is our light. Go now as one body to love and serve God as you love and serve the world. Go in peace.